Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have just sung my sermon text. That hymn is based on our first lesson, which is from Lamentations 3. Especially I lift up these opening words. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It was a merry heart, I think, that composed the words to that hymn we just sang. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Now, this morning's gospel stories give us lovely illustrations of this great theme concerning the heart of our Lord. If you think about it, to say that the Lord's love is steadfast, that his loving kindness never ceases, that his mercy never comes to an end, to be able to say that about our God is to be able to say everything wonderful. It bodes well for us. So it was that on that sunny gospel morning long ago in the days of our Lord while in his earthly ministry, the steadfast love of the Lord shone strong once again. The Father, desperate with fear for his daughter, for she was drawing near to death, had come to Jesus. And a woman who had endured an unending flow of blood for 12 years, she came to Jesus. And the steadfast love of the Lord was such that, once again, he healed, he dealt with this misery on earth. It's a wonderful thing, I say, that the heart of our God should have steadfast love, that it should never cease. It means that our God, our Maker, our Redeemer, the one in whose hands we rest, has an inexhaustible supply of patience and goodwill toward us. Now, when some people show mercy, they don't do it necessarily from a heart that is overflowing with mercy. Sometimes it's possible to give mercy and to do good deeds with a kind of coolness in the heart and begrudging. To my shame, if I am weary or vexed, I can be like that when somebody knocks on the door. I mean, I can dutifully get up from my desk and I can go and deal with the one who has knocked on the door. But sometimes my heart is simply back there at my desk doing what I was doing. I mean, the other day, four people knocked on the door wanting a handout. Four people within the space of 10 minutes. So I dutifully ministered to them as best I could. Good, but I can't swear that I gave my heart to each one of them. That's a common human experience. There's a limit that varies for each of us and according to what's going on in our life, but we can become weary with well-doing, but not the Lord. That's the way in which the Lord differs from us. His heart never seems to become exhausted. So, in this sermon, I want to praise the loving kindness of the Lord, his endless mercies. I want to talk about his heart. But before I do that, I need to pause for a clarification. In praising steadfast love of the Lord, I do not mean to dismiss or put down in any measure those who do good in this world simply from a sense of duty. They do it because they judge that it's the right thing to do, not because their heart necessarily is overflowing with love. Rather, in that particular circumstance, they think, all things considered, this is the right thing to do, and they do it. And then they return to their desk for whatever else they were doing. I do not need to put that down. In fact, it seems to me, we human beings are somehow at our best, or at least on the road to our best, when we are doing our duty even if our heart isn't in it. After all, if we waited for our heart to be in it, there's some good in this world that would simply go missing. And looked at the other way around, it's an ancient teaching of morality that the heart tends to follow good deeds. Our heart can be trained by the deeds that we actually do. So, doing good deeds in a steadfast way, or even pretending to be good, is often a first step, a beginning step, toward actually becoming good. Now that's how the Lord is. He does good not because he's pretending to be good. There's nothing outside him that can force him to be good. There's no beloved teacher standing at his side urging him on to be good. There's no audience before whom he wants to look good. No, if he does good, it's simply because he is good. And what I'm hoping is that we will practice the good, pursue the good, strive for the good, bit by bit, become like him. Because it's a wonderful thing to be able to say that not only does the Lord do the good, but his heart is good. It makes it so reliable. It'll be the same way for us. The Lord says that when the kingdom comes, every human heart will be filled entirely with the will of the Lord. No one will need to say to his neighbor, know the Lord, because we will all know the Lord. Then doing the good will be easy. Till then, if we need to do it in a disciplined way, then let's do it. But the Lord, he simply has a heart whose every instinct, whose every impulse leaps toward mercy and toward loving kindness. And that's a great thing. So, let's see this illustration about the Lord in today's gospel story. A prophet comes to Jesus. His name is Jairus. It's actually pronounced Jairus, but that's a little hard for me to say, so I simply say Jairus. He's a ruler of a synagogue. He's an eminent man in the community. But it doesn't matter the prestige that he has. His daughter is in need, and he can't help her. No one can help her. She's at the edge of death. He loves his daughter. Naturally, he loves his daughter. He's heard that Jesus can heal. So, he comes to Jesus. And Jesus, because his heart is this sort, it's a steadfast, loving heart, with mercy that never ends. Because Jesus has that kind of a heart, he agrees to go and help the child. You can imagine the happiness of the father, and also the haste with which he hopes Jesus can get there. Because she's on the edge of death, but Jesus is surrounded by a crowd. And getting there is kind of like herding cats. It takes a while to get there. You can imagine the frustration of the father. So they're traveling along toward his house. All his glory, it doesn't suffice. Let him be a famous politician, a rock star, an athlete. None of that matters. What matters is he's got to get Jesus to help. Else there's no one to help. So they're moving along toward his house, and suddenly Jesus stops. He says that someone touched him. He does not mean that someone brushed up beside him. That must have happened many times in the crowd. No. He means that someone has laid hold upon him in hope. It's this woman. She has suffered for 12 years with her misery. She has spent all her money, and she's none the better for it. to her sickness is now added poverty, disappointment. During those 12 years, her disappointment must have just been wrecking her. Each time she would go to a new doctor, her hopes would go up. We understand that. They would go up. And each time, they would fail. And she just progressed, getting worse and worse. A relentless slide downward. And combined with that, magnifying it all, she was now poor. She is the one who has laid hold on Jesus, and she's won a blessing. She is now well. She can sense it in her body. She's healed. But Jesus wants something even more for her. Who has touched me? At last, she comes forward. She tells the whole truth to him. And Jesus adds to her physical healing, a kind of spiritual healing too. He says, daughter, true daughter of Israel, daughter, your faith has made you well. This public acknowledgement, not only does she know that she is well, but all of the community now knows she is well. Go in peace. Then the messengers come from Jairus' house. The daughter is gone. He had been right, time was of the essence. Jesus had delayed in order to deal with this woman. The messengers come. Do not trouble the teacher anymore, for your daughter has died. Any of you who mourn, your loved one might have died years ago, or just recently. Any of you who mourn, take encouragement from this story. The love of Christ burns so strong, so fiercely, that even death was no obstacle. So he simply goes on his way. He tells the father, do not despair. Take that for heart. None of us. Do not despair. Jesus is on the way. But Jesus arrives there. He lifts the girl up as if awakening her from sleep. In fact, he declares that she's asleep. Not dead, but asleep. He lifts her up and gives this Mary final instruction. Give her something to eat. Because that's what 12-year-old girls need. Give her something to eat. This interweaving of the story of Jairus and his daughter with that of the woman with the unending flow of love. Unending flow of blood. This interweaving of these two stories reveals something awfully important about the heart of Jesus. He heals the child, naturally. Who could not want to heal a child? This child lies dead, but she was too young. She had all of her life ahead of her. She's a child who has died, and Jesus raises her up. It just seems natural. He ought to do it. We would all heal the children if we could. I mean, the front page of the New York Times today, there's this photograph. It breaks the heart, at least in the online version. There's this photograph of what are called the lost children of Sudan, the lost boys, the wandering boys of Sudan. This happened back in the 90s, and it's happening again. These boys, they're wandering. They have their little brothers or sisters on their little backs. Their stomachs are filled with grass. They're trying to evade the gunfire, trying to evade the lions, trying to reach the refugee camp. It's enough to make you renew your prayers that Jesus would come again quickly and put this misery to an end. who would not pray for the healing of the little child? Well, Jesus heals the little child, but also he heals the woman, the grown daughter of Israel, that everybody else would prefer would just go away. It's this interweaving which expresses this theme. Jesus loves all the little children of the world, and he loves all the grown children of the world. I mean, you look at a child, she looks innocent. Her skin has no wrinkles. She does not yet have the history of failure and sin and wickedness that many of us grown-ups have racked up. She has her life ahead of her. It's easy to love her. But Jesus equally loves the grown woman whose skin might have wrinkles, whose hair might be gray, whose wits might be declining, whose hearing is declining, whose eyesight is going dim. The one nobody else walks around. Jesus also loves that one. This intertwining of these stories is a great revelation of the heart of our Lord. Great is the faithfulness of the Lord. His loving kindness never, ever ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, and they are directed also toward us. Let us try to love in that way. I mean, when the Lord does good, it's so that he can be true to himself. Let us so practice the good following his pattern. That doing good will not so much exhaust us or annoy us, but will bring us closer to the people we are going to be. Through the grace and mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory, to the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.